The future. Everybody wants to know what the future holds for them. Well, today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, we explore a bit of that future as it's revealed to Daniel. Yeah, an Old Testament guy gets a look at New Testament visions and even beyond. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Daniel chapter 7 as we continue our journey through this amazing book. And here in chapter 7, things shift a bit. Daniel starts getting visions from the Lord about the future. And the future. What do we mean by that? Well, stick around. We'll explain it a little bit more. Daniel sees Christ in his kingdom in this first vision. Join us. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon and today's Abounding Grace.
You remember the figure in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, and the head was a head of gold, and then there it moved down from silver. The breast was silver, and then bronze, and then it had feet of iron and clay. And that was given, you remember, in Daniel 2 to identify kingdoms, successive kingdoms. And Daniel was given the identity, at least in the first one, to say to Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. And then there'll be a nation after you that is great. And then a nation after you. And then a fourth nation that will come. And we have known throughout history, it's accepted interpretation that is Babylon, and that's the Medes and Persians, and that's Greece, and then that's Rome. Accepted interpretation. And the angel speaks this way, but he says, you are that head. You are Babylon, the great head of gold in the image. Now, if you were to press me on this vision, who these beasts are, I would probably, if you were to press me, say, that's what he's interacting with, those kingdoms. The message to Nebuchadnezzar in that vision was, remember, all the kingdoms of this world, think about it, from gold all the way to clay, all the kingdoms of this world, and this is Nebuchadnezzar's point, they're all in decline. All the kingdoms in their greatness throughout history are in decline from God's perspective, and by the end they will blow away in the wind. They will not be here. And where's Rome today? It's not here. This is what Nebuchadnezzar learned. I'm not convinced that's what's being said here. What we're getting here is an entirely different perspective here to give an explanation of what's happening in the earth. Notice verse 16. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. Would you explain this to me? Daniel says. I want the interpretation. I need to understand this. So he told me the interpretation. These four great beasts are four kings that shall rise out of the earth. Now notice, the angel doesn't tell him who's the head. But in this vision, the beasts are presented, contrary to chapter 2, as getting more powerful. And finally crushing the saints. So we're looking at something from a different perspective. We're looking at a vision that is being given from earth's perspective. Daniel is standing, if you will, if you can picture the imagery here, Daniel's in the lion's den and he's looking face to face at the beasts. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar was getting a vision from God describing the crumbling of his kingdom. And what Daniel sees is that things in this life, in this world, in the kingdoms of this world seem to be getting progressively worse. It's this fourth beast that confused Daniel. This beast, says Daniel, was just, I got to know about this beast. It's teeth of iron and it broke in pieces and it stamped everything under its feet. The angel says it's going to devour over all the earth, trample down and break into pieces. And it's going to have 10 horns and 10 kings shall come from it. But it was the horn, says Daniel, on his head, that in the midst of these horns was a little horn. And it broke off all the other three. And in his mouth, I saw his mouth. And you know what this horn was doing? It was speaking pompous words. this horn said things and made itself greater than everything. And here's what he did. The horn made war. Now notice this. With the saints. And prevailed over them. Verse 25. He shall speak words against the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. What are we looking at? Well, I give a lot of thought to this week, a lot of study. This is where I think people get really off track with Daniel. Whereas the angel told Nebuchadnezzar, you are the image of gold, the head of gold. And the kingdoms that we follow, we can see successively through history. But what is this? And as I read and I studied, I thought, there's a time clue that's missed here that captures this. That's very important for understanding the whole vision. The time clue is, this will happen for a time, times, and a half a time. Daniel's speaking, big picture. Daniel's speaking of the character of the times when the kingdom of God will break into history. He says for a time, times, and a half a time, the saints will be worn out and given into his hand. What is that time? What is that time? Well, Revelation tells us that at the woman's birth of the male child, remember Revelation 12? She gave birth to a male child who shall do what? Rule the nations with a rod of iron. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time from the face of the serpent. They will make war against the saints of the Most High. And they shall, Revelation 11, find themselves at some point, the two witnesses, dead in the street for 1,260 days. That's times, time, and a half a time. Same duration. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? We're not looking at so much what people want to do with Daniel in this case, the specific kingdoms of this world and who they are. We're so wanting to identify these kingdoms. What we're looking at is the character of the times until the second coming. What Daniel sees is the deeper problem in the kingdoms of this world, that they're beastly and that they grow in evil. But behind it, backing these kingdoms, sprouting up in history, at the culmination of history, which has always, he's always been there, is this horn, this little horn. Who is he? What is the horn that he's talking about? Who is sprouting up in history? And beloved, I can't see this in any other way other than he's describing the Antichrist. The horns and the little horn represent his disturbance in the kingdoms of this world as he influences them in evil. And you see that in his pompous boasting. Now maybe you could identify figures along the way who did this. But Daniel's thinking bigger. He's thinking theologically. Again, Isaiah 14, I quoted a few sermons back. How you are fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, think of the horn here, I will ascend into heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Where did that start in history? Babel, pompous words of a figure. New Testament grabs this. 2 Thessalonians 2, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. That's apocalyptic. He's describing the character of history throughout our time that we're living. And it comes in the worst form. The beastly kingdoms of this world rise up against the Lord and against his anointed and his anointed. And through this figure that all the New Testament engages and talks about, the Antichrist, who John says has always been in the world. It's progressing. The statement that is crucial to this is verse 25. He shall speak words against the Most High, notice this, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change times and law. Let's try to make this somewhat practical here. What do you feel right now, living in the world? Wouldn't it be great if we could practice our faith unhindered by all these politicians? Wouldn't it be great if we could have schools for our children and practice our faith unhindered and create a peaceful life? What is constantly burdening you right now as the times change? What is it that troubles you? Just look at things. Is this so hard to figure out, really? Is it really that hard to figure out? Just take Israel. Look at the nations reeling in war. Look at World War III ready to break out any moment. Look at the economies of this world reeling. What burdens you most? It's the evil in all of this. Have they not changed times and law? Did they not change marriage? That's a big law to change. Are things happening that burden us for the future? Think of all the worries that we have right now. It's all what? Political. It all has to do with the kings and kingdoms of this world and the directions they're going and the evil you're seeing escalating. It feels that that's what we're in, doesn't it? The saints feel weak. The saints feel wore out by all this at some point. We can't just tuck away anymore with the American dream. We know that's gone. The horn will speak words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High. That's life in the lion's den. Evil seems to be getting progressively worse. That's how at least we experience it. It seems like the kingdom of darkness is winning and that we are given into his hand, that we are in this den for a season. But this is where the vision turns to such hope. There's a huge exception in this text, isn't there? It's verse 9. And as I looked in the midst of all these beasts, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head as pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and the streams of fire came out from before him. Thousands times 10,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open, and the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. It's really one beast. Notice that. And all dominion was taken away. What are you looking at? What are we looking at? The end of everything. This is Revelation 19. This is the great white throne judgment. This was the beginning of Revelation 4. As I was in such worry about Rome and all the turmoil of this world, the vision said, I saw a vision and a door was opened in heaven. And what did he say he saw? A throne fixed in heaven and one seated on it. This is exactly what he's describing. God Almighty, in the midst of all this, is on his throne. What a perspective. The time period of all this evil, sorrow, misery, sin and rebellion, and beastly kingdoms will come to an end soon in judgment. And verse 26 says, the saints are given in this time to struggle and a wear out. Until this time, the court sits in judgment and then dominion is taken from them. Now that's where I think this is so important to see the great truth of history, beloved. That's what this vision wants to show us in verse 13. We're not pessimists about history. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Think of the imagery of this. Who is this? Who is the one, Revelation 5, worthy to open the scrolls? It was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is Psalm 2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. What did Daniel see? He saw the King. He saw Jesus. Verse 14, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall never be destroyed. And that great kingdom shall be given to the saints of the Most High for an everlasting kingdom. That's the end of the matter. That's the end of the matter. And that's the gospel today. You know, look where the gospel has gone. I say this frequently, but it is really remarkable. You have to see the kingdom differently, spread out over time and space, from a little room in Jerusalem with 120. Look where the kingdom has gone over all the earth. People today are worshiping in spirit and in truth over all the, not on one hill, as Jesus said, not on one mountaintop, all over. Look where the gospel has prevailed, to the ends of the earth, to Escondido and to China. It's gone everywhere. And these are his people. That's the heart of it. Just remember what Hebrews said. We cannot see everything under his feet right now. But did you notice what Daniel says? The kingdom will be given to who? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Jesus like that designation. Remember when he was on trial? Caiaphas asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? Jesus replied, listen to this, it is as you say. Right now, he says, I'm going to go to the cross and suffer and die. But I say to you, here it is, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One, coming with the clouds of heaven. You see what he just did? He owned Daniel. That's me. That's what you're going to see. Daniel 7, he claims right there, I am that king. And on that day, it's all going to be revealed with the white throne judgment when it's set up. John 5, judgment has been given. I've been given, notice that, Son has life in himself and has been given the authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. John 5. He's the Son of Man. Daniel saw the whole snapshot of history right there in this vision. From the initial coming of the kingdom of Christ to its final consummation, the struggle in between was not to discourage you, the saints, but to encourage you in the midst of all this. Think of all the things you're troubled with right now. In the midst of all of this, when you feel worn out by all of this, when persecution hits the highest levels, and you feel the depression and the frustration of sin in this world, and you struggle even to exist and to live, and you feel worn out by it all, do you see what's being said? Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome it all. As Peter said, he's been given the name above every name by which people may be saved. And as Paul wrote in Philippians, at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, he is Lord. So the vision is helping us to understand today what's happening in a world of darkness and to appreciate the kingdom you're involved with, beloved, in light. God's Son has given us light and eternal life. What's happening in the world is not spinning out of control outside of God's plan. He's holding it all, and he's told us exactly how it's going to go among the beasts. He will rebuke them, as we sang. But we are the victors, and I think that's the closing note of this first vision for Daniel. We have to act like it today and believe it. To be a people of faith in the time of our exile, to believe that the victory is won, and to live turning our eyes to heaven. He's told us time and time again, any moment he could come on the clouds of heaven, and you will see him. And then the dead in Christ, all of your loved ones who died, will be raised, and we will be with the Lord, and the throne will be set. The throne of judgment will be established. The nations will be judged in finality. And we receive at that time an everlasting kingdom. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more sickness. No more death. No more war. No more locking your door at night. A kingdom where righteousness shall dwell forever. That's coming, and closer than you realize. And he's telling us today, make sure we are believing and not unbelieving. The kingdom of righteousness and peace is yours, and it will be given to you. So live in hope. This suffering is just for a little while, and after this time, think of the profession of faith today. After this short time of suffering, he shall establish, perfect, and strengthen you. So look up and look for Christ, for he's coming soon, for this is what he's promised to us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this vision today, and thank you for helping us through it. And may we, Lord, have hope in the midst of it, of the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us not be discouraged in the midst of all this, but to know that though all of this was appointed, the time, times, and half a time, once that period expires, we will see with our eyes the resurrected Savior, with resurrected eyes ourselves, and we will be given a kingdom that endures forever. So for all discouraged in the time, help us, O Lord, to have the right perspective and to realize we are on the side of victory, and that in Jesus Christ we have eternal life. Thank you for such words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially, and most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.